Well, good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this broadcast is Cross the Border, and my name's Nicholas, and today is our live weekly Prophecy Reality Edition, so I want to thank you all for joining me today. Today I'm going to, I think, pretty much put an end to our present discussion, an exposition or defense of historicism. Of course, it's an ongoing thing, but as a series, I'm going to put an end to it, and we'll start something new next week. I did want to finish up discussing a little bit more of the official Reformed Church position of amillennialism, and I know there's some amillennial listeners out there, if not live, but that have been keeping an eye on what I'm saying over here, and seem to be very civil people. The ones that aren't civil are the dispensationalists. Yeah. Been called a dishonest. Yeah, because which means the man is judging my heart, and he believes that he knows what only God can know, the motivation of my heart. But if he says I'm being dishonest, well, then he's saying that I'm intentionally trying to deceive people. So I think he has a much bigger problem than just having wrong eschatology. And he's published a new video. This is the guy that we were talking about before. And he's answered some of my claims, but I didn't have time to really get into it. And so we'll report on that on a later broadcast. And I'm only going to come back at him one more time and answer directly some of the things that he said in his last video, which are directed well, pretty much directly at me. So you'll want to stay tuned for that in future broadcasts. Let's see, I'm going to take another look at Revelation chapter 20. That's where we're going. And let's just read it and see what it says. And I saw an angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. And he laid hold of the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil, and Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. So we have a picture here, first of all, an undeniable picture, of Satan being bound for 1,000 years. Let's see, are we there yet? Well, I don't know, Satan seems pretty active to me. But let's continue reading. And cast him into the bottomless pit, and shut him up, and set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more, till 1,000 years should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loosed a little season. Now, what I see here is a parallel of what happens in Daniel chapter 2. You know, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream, and he dreamed of an image, and this image represented you know, the four great kingdoms that would rule the world until Christ would come and set up his kingdom. Now, has that happened already? Okay, because here's the thing. The amillennial said that this 1,000 years is figurative for the time that the church is living in now. Okay? So that must mean that Christ came, but says that when the stone that was formed without hands, representing Christ and his kingdom, strikes the image, well, the image is obliterated and becomes like the chaff of the threshing floor, and it is blown away so that no place is found for it anymore. Well, look around, the image is still standing, and we may be in the bottom of the image, we may be in the 10 toes of mingled iron and clay right now, the feet and 10 toes iron mingled with clay, but it's definitely not blown away. It's still extant. It's still existing. But let's continue here. Okay? That he should deceive the nations no more. The nations are still deceived. So Satan has not been bound for this 1,000-year period yet. Okay? So it cannot be, and that's my opinion, it cannot be, you know, if I overlay that with Daniel And Daniel chapter 2, it cannot be the kingdom of God that is foretold to be set up upon the earth where all of the other nations are abolished, because Satan is present. He is deceiving the nations during what is the amillennial thousand years, okay? But not the premillennial thousand years, because I believe it will be literal. Okay, it says, continuing on verse 4, and I saw thrones and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now, this must be the same 1,000 years, okay, that Satan is bound and no longer deceiving the nations. And those nation governments under the headship of Satan have been totally obliterated, and they have blown away like the chaff of the threshing floor, so that no place is found for them. Are we there yet? Well, I'm looking around, and I don't see us being there yet. Okay? And then, verse 5, but the rest of the dead lived not again till the 1,000 years were finished. Okay. Now, who are the rest of the dead? Well, that would be those that are not included here. I saw thrones, they that sat upon them, judgment was given to them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. So we know what kind of group, what kind of people we're talking about, because this group that lived again before the 1,000 years were finished, okay, at the beginning of this 1,000-year period, this group includes all those that were beheaded for Jesus. And we still got people out there being beheaded for Jesus. For the word of God. We still have people not worshiping the beast. I don't worship the beast. Yeah. Neither I don't worship the image of the beast, and I have not, and I do not receive the mark of the beast. And it says, and they lived and reigned with Christ for 1,000 years. Well, I haven't done that yet. Okay, but bear with me. Don't run away, all you amillennials out there. Because I think maybe I might be able to convince you. Yeah, and you go, no, that'll be the day. Well, stick around, okay? So, but the rest of the dead lived not again till the 1,000 years were finished. Now, this is the first resurrection. Of course, this little phrase here is referring to what has happened here, the 1,000 years and those that are reigning and ruling with Jesus. This is the first resurrection. The amillennials agree with me. And, you know, many of them say, well, the first resurrection is when you're born again. You join Jesus in the first resurrection. The first resurrection is symbolical, as is the 1,000-year reign of all those who are living now in the kingdom of God, because it's true, Jesus is the king of the whole earth. He's even the king of Satan, and he's the king of the fallen away kingdoms of God. He turns them whichever way he will. I mean, he said of Babylon, Babylon is a sword in my hand, and he used that sword in his hand to judge Israel. Judgment begins at the house of the Lord. He judged Israel first. And then after he judged Israel, then he judged all of the nations around Israel by that sword. And then finally, he judged Babylon when the Medes and the Persians came in. Okay? So he's always been, you know, the king of the earth and of all things. And right now, I mean, when I see, you know, the judgment that fell on Israel in 70 AD, well, as God wielded Babylon as his sword in judgment at the first desolation and destruction of the temple, well, it was Jesus, the King of Kings, who wielded the Roman army, you know, the people of the prince that shall come, which did come in 70 AD. He wielded them as his sword in judgment against national Israel for the overspreading of abominations, to borrow the biblical language there. So this is the first resurrection. Now the scripture goes on to say in verse 6, blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power. Okay, there's a first death. We all understand that. We all die. I'm going to die. Okay? And I haven't been resurrected yet. Okay? Because my Adamic man, you know, the one that was born under the Adamic curse, has not been put to death yet. And, you know, there's only going to be a small elite of people that are going to be changed in the moment in the twinkling of an eye. That's kind of like going to the grave so quick and so fast and being resurrected so fast that it's just like that. It's kind of an instantaneous, but that's a very small group of people. I mean, I hope to be among them when Christ returns to at the beginning of the seventh millennium. I hope to still be alive then. Don't know that I will be, you know, because I don't know if I'll live long enough. I'm already retirement age according to most people's standards. So I could, a lot of people do, but most people don't live that long. But I'm just hoping to be one. So, and this is not a focus. Our focus, no matter what era we've lived in or live in, the church, the focus has always been the resurrection. I mean, even in Paul's time, you know, the resurrection was a focus. It was the difference between the Sadducees and the Pharisees. The Pharisees believed in the resurrection. The Sadducees did not. Okay, and Paul used that division to expound upon the resurrection of the dead. Okay, so we all believe in the resurrection. Now, the problem with the amillennial position is now they have to say that the resurrection already happened. And so they say things like, well, the resurrection is when you're born again. That's how you can have it now in this millennial, amillennial, figurative period of the church age, that the first resurrection came with Christ, and everyone who is born again is born into that first resurrection. And so you're living now in this amillennial, figurative millennium, and that if we go on after the 1,000 years, after the amillennial figurative millennium of the amillennialist view, well, then Satan's going to be let out. And that's what they're expecting at the end. When Satan is let out, there's going to be let out of his prison. I don't know how they consider him locked up in a prison now, but it's going to be the Gog and Magog war. Okay. Kind of what the dispensationalists are expecting during their 7-year tribulation deception. Okay. Kind of the same thing. And so they kind of incorporate a little bit of dispensationalism in there. I guess that makes it feel better, because poor dispensationalists can agree with there being a great period where the entire book of Revelation and all the catastrophe and disaster that's in it is, you know, crammed into this little period of time. Okay? And then after that, the second death. Okay? Blessed and holy is he that hath part, verse 6, in the first resurrection. On such the second death has no power. Well, and that is true of both our, you know, being born again. If you're born again, if you're truly born again and you are a partaker of Christ's death and resurrection by faith, okay, the second death will have no power over you because you will make the first resurrection when he returns. So there's truth there, but here's the problem. Okay. Yeah, I'll put this on the screen here. So basically, I have to say this. I am in total agreement with the amillennialists on every single point of their orthodox belief in the scripture. There's only one point I depart from them on, and that is the return of Christ. I believe it to be premillennial, and I believe the millennium to be a actual, literal period of time. That's the only thing I disagree with them on. And I base my disagreement on the Word of God. Now, if you open your Bible there to 2 Timothy 2:15. Put that on the screen here for those of you that are watching. It says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." And Paul goes on, "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker." And a canker is like a cancer. Okay? And he names two people, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already. Now, and he says, "And overthrow the faith of some." Now here we have Paul writing, and the date of this letter is dated upon Paul leaving Ephesus, which he did twice according to the Acts of the Apostles. This dates the epistle to either about the year 58 or 59 or the year 64 or 65. So this is even pre-destruction, you know, and desolation of Jerusalem and the temple. This is before 70 AD that Paul wrote this. But this is after people are being born again. And this is after the resurrection of Christ. So Paul is saying that our resurrection, the first resurrection that we're looking for, is going to be a truly bodily resurrection when Christ returns. Okay, so this is saying that the millennial reign of Christ and the first resurrection that accompanies it has not happened yet. Therefore, it cannot be symbolical. Otherwise, if you want to hold on to that, then you have to, Paul says that you err, and I'm going to number you with Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already. What Paul's saying is that we're already looking forward to this first resurrection. It's going to be a true bodily resurrection in a true millennial reign of Christ. It is not past already. It is something that is still out in the future. And he says, if you teach this, and you know, I can say the error of amillennialism. Now, I'm not done by any means studying into this, but this is where they're pointing me, the amillennialists themselves. Okay? See, this would place the amill first resurrection commensurate with their present figurative millennium after this date, seeing that it could not have happened yet, which begs the question, just when did the amill, Revelation 20, figurative millennium begin and its first resurrection occur? Now, let me check the chat room. To me, this pretty much puts the nail in the coffin of amillennialism, unless I'm missing something here. Okay? This pretty much nails it. And I know some people, they stick, you know, with what they taught, what they've been taught. And I've been doing a lot of study. And basically, I just finished going through the volume 2 of the Hori Apocalypticae. And it's done and now available in the hardback cover, Reformation Quincentennial Edition. Okay. So this is available for, I know a number of people bought this first hardcover edition. It's also available in paperback. Save yourself about $10 that way. If you don't mind the paperback, it's a little more bulky, but the same content. And so you want to make sure you take advantage of that. Let me check the chat room. We're going to go into a break in a minute here. See, Engel Chen says, my mother will be 105 years old, very clear in her mind and very faithful. Well, I hope to join her. Of course, I've got another 40 years to go before I'm 105. But I think that the seventh millennium will begin within 40 years, okay? At least if you go to my What Year Is It posting on my website, you'll see that I have it at about the year 2055. I'm not predicting the day or the year. I mean, the day or the hour, I should say. I'm saying it's about the year, okay? For my purposes, I just want to know about where I'm at and can I live that long, and I'm hoping that I can. So, you know, God bless your mother. Very clear in her mind and very faithful. And I hope to be very faithful and clear in my mind at 105. And, yeah. Let's see, Wacky, Blue Raven, Dale, WJ, Olar, Fireman Mike, Bass Tracker, and Carrie Ann are in the chat room. Thank you all for joining me this morning. It's always nice to have a few people, in the audience there that you can touch, as well as a lot of people listening. Probably my good friend, Michael Eugene is listening on his prophecy, on the Prophecy Reality News app. Make sure you take advantage of that. Go to your app store and put in Prophecy Reality News and you'll get it. Okay? And anyway, I use it to monitor the network when I'm out about and away from things. That way I can always make sure everything's working correctly for all of you, those of you that listen to First Amendment Radio.
First on FirstAmendmentRadio.com and FirstAmendmentRadio.net. Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
The program you are listening to is 100% sponsored by you, the listener, on this First Amendment Rights Media channel. You've noticed that there are few commercials on this radio network, and there's a good reason for that. Corporate advertising dollars come with strings that limit program content. So without your help, these programs cannot continue on satellite, internet, or our various affiliates. These programs are not commercially viable and must be supported by those faithful to the cause of truth. Look for the button to sponsor your favorite programs on our Listen and Schedule pages. Then when you subscribe, we'll send you the last quarterly MP3 CD of that program immediately and continue with each new quarter. We will also give you unlimited archive access to all of our programs. We ask you to give much less than a tithe so that you may also send support directly to a particular program, host, or cause, and anywhere else the Spirit may lead you. Do all to the glory of our God and Creator, for His holy nation, the only kingdom that will last forever. Thank you for listening.
The book of Revelation says, the spirit of prophecy is the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is at the very heart of FirstAmendmentRadio.com. In that spirit, we have created the Prophecy Reality News app for all of your mobile devices, streaming First Amendment Radio 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Available for your Apple, Android device, and smartphone, absolutely free. Get the Prophecy Reality News app installed today so you can listen to First Amendment Radio wherever you are. The Prophecy Reality News app. Get it now. Welcome back. You're listening to Across the Border. This is our live Prophecy Reality Edition, and we are live right now and on this Wednesday morning. So the call-in number is in the chat room, 559-797-8537. And this half hour, your calls are welcome. So please call in and give my voice a little break. As I began to say, in the second hour, we are going to go through, you'll want to stick around for that, I pre-recorded it. That would be the witness of the Reforming Fathers that the Pope is the man of sin and Antichrist. And so we have the witness, actual quotes from the Reforming Fathers of the 16th and 17th century. That would be the 15s and 1600s for all of you home public school people out there. Who might not know that, or might not even know why we're in the 21st century. Okay, but here we are. So, stick around for that. And I had some other things I was going to say. I've been doing a lot of studying, like I said, going through the Hoary Apocalyptica. What an education. And in my studies, I've been looking through a lot of information from Reformed websites. I even found some college-level curriculums from the actual Bible colleges out there and on amillennialism. And, of course, there are plenty out there on dispensationalism. Those are the majority. And but, you know, there is going through the amillennial college-level courses on eschatology, like we have an overview of eschatology I'm going through right now, and they don't even get into the mechanics of prophecy and history. They don't talk about Daniel chapter 2, Daniel chapter 11, and how the prophecy was given, how it fulfilled. They don't examine those things. They don't examine the symbols and how they were fulfilled and how they were interpreted in the scripture themselves, how that might apply to the revelation. They don't discuss any of that. Now, the dispensationalists, they do that quite a bit more, but then the amillennials, they kind of drop it all together. And so I'm thinking, wow, you know what? I think the Jesuits and others under Jesuit influence have written enough college level curriculum. We need one out there that is going to teach the Reformation historical interpretation of prophecy. So I am starting right now, just putting all the notes here. It's kind of the way I write is I open a file for something, and then when I say that'll be good there. And then I put it in that file. And then when I get about 10 times more stuff in the file than I need in the book or the curriculum that I'm going to write, then I sit down and I write it, sort it out, and organize it. And then voila, you have a book. So that's kind of the way I'm writing. I'm just putting stuff together for a college-level curriculum that teaches an overview of prophecy or eschatology and then a comparative view. So you need two, an overview teaching the historical position and how we come to that position. And then you need a comparative view. So like, you know, it'd be a course you could go through in a college year or whatever they call those seasons in the college. Anyway, so I'm working on that on the side. I'm kind of a multitasker here because I'm going through, because we're, like I said, we're republishing this quincentennial edition of the Hoary Apocalyptica. What an education, man. I mean, if anyone wants to understand the historical position, they should read this. And like I said, I just published volume 2, so you can get both of these now, or if you already got the one and you'd like to get the other, it's available now. And if you haven't read the first one yet, wait, and subscribe to my blog, because if you're subscribed to my blog, you know that Friday you got a post saying that, you could get a, 10% off and free shipping if you purchase the books during this weekend, and that ended on Monday. So if you wait when the printer has these specials, I will publish them and you'll know when you can buy the book at a discount and get it with a free shipping. So definitely want to take advantage of that. So if you're not subscribed to my blog, that's one of the advantages of being subscribed to my blog, as well as getting a heads up whenever I post something out there. And I usually post something once or twice a week. So I don't do 10 a day like some people do. Just overwhelm you with everything they find on the internet. I'm not into that. I want it to be edifying and thought-provoking, at least. So, and not overwhelming. Okay, so you want to take advantage of that. So please do subscribe to my blog. And when myself and my previous producer in the studio here, James, if you all remember James, and he hasn't been in the chat room once. I guess he's pretty busy on other things. So, but he did call me last week, and we talked for a while. So he, even though I worry about, you know, my younger brothers in Christ, he still got his head screwed on straight, and so. I will continue to pray for him. And let's see, still don't have a producer, but still working hard here. I won't retire, as you all know. I'm not a socialist, so I don't have a social security number, and I don't participate in socialism and welfare and food stamps and all of those benefits that come from Caesar. Because I believe that my God is able to take care of me without using the government to do it. Okay? And that's being bad enough. Socialism, I believe, being, you know, a corporate form of theft. Because whatever is unlawful for an individual to do should be unlawful for the government to do, except perhaps in very few instances. Perhaps like the death penalty. You know, vengeance, there's a difference between vengeance and justice when it comes to something like the death penalty. Vengeance is, well, he killed mine, so I get to kill him. You go out and kill someone, and you find yourself being prosecuted for murder, okay? Because that is a place where the government, if there is a civil government, they have that authority. And that authority comes from God, basically, because God gave us the death penalty statute for murder. But it has to be true murder, okay? So a justice has to be served by carrying out that lawful death penalty. It cannot be retribution or vengeance. That would be the difference. Where was I going with that? Oh, yes, talking about... So the state never has the right to steal, but they do steal. Okay, I have to pay property taxes to send children to pagan temples called public schools. And I would never send my children there. None of my grandchildren go to public schools. And I have five grandchildren. And I still have one child at home who's 17, and she's homeschooled. So, but am I participating in socialism? Because I'm paying property taxes, well, I'm doing that under threatened arrest, because if I don't pay the property taxes, I know that they will come with guns and remove me from my property. So I have to pay that so that I don't lose all of my rights and become a vagabond in the land, okay? So it's not wrong to pay property taxes, but it's wrong to volunteer for socialism when it's voluntary. See, property taxes are not voluntary, okay? They're paid under threatened arrest. But joining the Social Security Club and applying for benefits from the state, that's voluntary socialism, okay? And so that, to me, is sinful because, you know, I believe God's word definitely outlaws it. It goes against the law of God. So I can't participate in those things, and I have repented of my participation. As a matter of fact, I just renewed my passport. And, of course, they wanted a Social Security number, but you can get a passport. Say you repent. And you say, okay, I'm not going to collect any socialist security and any benefits and food stamps. I'm gonna trust God to take care of me. Mm-hmm. So now they want an affidavit. They're going to say something like, do you have a Social Security number? Well, if you have one, if you acknowledge it, but the truth is you don't have one, because by law, on the definition of have means that you possess it and own it, okay? It's like you might have something, okay? And you may say you're holding it for me, but unless you give it to me, and I have the right to dispose of it, alter it, abolish it, destroy it, or change it, I never have it. I don't own it. So under the definition of have at law, it's kind of like, you know, what's his name? Bill Clinton. When they were questioning, he says, well, that depends on what the definition of is. Okay, well, that was a lot of nonsense on his part, but words do mean things. And at law, a word can mean one thing, and out in the normal course of life, under ordinary circumstances, it can mean another thing. But whenever you're talking to an authority, you're speaking at law. You know, it's like the driver's license issue. You know, I don't have a driver's license because I don't need one. And I have, you know, I found that out to be true. Because one, when they decided, because I used to have a driver's license, and the state of California, in their great wisdom, decided that, well, we're not going to issue driver's licenses to people who don't have Social Security numbers anymore. And so they stopped doing that. And I said, oh, okay, well, I'm not going to go volunteer for socialism so that I can have a driver's license. As I found myself in the predicament of Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, when the government told them to bow down and worship an image, or whatever, to violate God's law, and they said, no, you know, we can't do this violating God's law thing, because even if you kill us, right? Even if it costs us our lives, we're not going to violate God's law. And so they didn't. And so, you know, we have to be like Daniels and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's today and stand up and say, God is the higher power. You know, the government may be a higher power and it has its place. You know, it's God-given place in the scheme of things out here, but it is not the highest power. So when the higher power tells you to violate the law of the highest power, well, you defer to the highest power of all. And you go with that. At least I do. So I'm already reached retirement age according to the world, but according to God, I haven't retired yet because they haven't planted me in the ground. And so I'm going to keep on working and at 105, if that's how long it takes for Jesus to come, well, I'm still going to be working for him. have a lot of work to do. And I was talking about James, and James was thinking about higher education, because actually he quit college to come out here and produce for me. And he did it on conviction. He felt like the Holy Spirit told him to come out here. And as a consequence, well, it changed his life. And I thought, well, you know what? Maybe you ought to consider a higher education, but, you know, one that will do some good for God and the kingdom. And so we looked around for a Protestant historicist, you know, a Reformed historicist Bible college, and we could not find one in the entire nation for him to go to, because his mom, you know, would pay for it. And so I thought, well, we're going to have to start our own. So that's why I'm going to write the curriculum. At least that's, I can at least start that way, you know, by writing a curriculum. And if I have anyone out there with a PhD that wants to join me with that, because it would be nice to have a co-author with a PhD in divinity or something out there. So if anyone wants to collaborate on something like that, or if anyone wants to give me a, what do they call those where they give you a PhD, honorary PhD or something. If anyone wants to give me one of those, I guess I could take that too. Because, you look at all these works, and sometimes the only way they get accepted is if you've got PhD or something, behind your name on that. So I don't know how far I'll get, but I'm going to do what God tells me to do, regardless of how it looks in the world. Yeah, that's my position. Anyway, so if you believe in what I'm doing out there, I do need your help. FirstAmendmentRadio.com.net, either way, we need your support. So consider going to my website, crosstheborder.org, and pressing the button there to support us and the work we're doing here. Or firstmemberradio.net, press the support button there. Either way, if you're more interested in doing one or the prophecy reality, that would be crosstheborder.org. Or if you're interested in supporting the firstmemberradio.net work we're doing there, then you can press the support button there. If you want to give a large amount every month, you know, you can contact us or press the support button and find out how to send us a check every month. And that way we don't have to go through PayPal and give them 3%. And we don't have the extra reporting requirements of PayPal. So if anyone really wants to help us out, if anyone wants to help us with our Bible college project, well, you can contact me about that. And we can discuss that. Sure would like to hear from you. Okay, well, enough about housekeeping stuff there. Check the chat room here and have any questions. No callers, no questions. Let's see. WJ says, we will get resurrected for the end even if we don't make it, won't we? So I guess that is a question that's in the form of a question. And of course, the scripture says that the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we are who alive and remain will be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And then we'll be caught up together to meet Christ in the air. And he goes on to say to comfort one another, these words. They are comforting words. Okay. Well, I guess I have to think of something else to talk about, since I have no callers or more questions. Okay, got a lot of stuff here, but it's kind of hard to throw it all together and make sense out of it. We can go back to supporting verses. John 5:28-29, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the graves shall hear his voice, and shall come forth, and they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, and they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. The hour is coming. Well, is this, I guess the question is this the same hour for both of these events? Ah, we have a caller. We have a taker. So we'll get back to that after this. Your name and where you're calling from, you're on the air.
Hi, Nicholas. Fireman Mike from Akron, Ohio.
Well, good morning, Mike. What do you got for us?
I've really enjoyed what you just said about, you know, the work you do and not having a PhD. And I'm looking for this thing I saw on the internet a couple weeks ago anyway. I may have to shoot it to you later. But there's a fella, a Christian who is a kind of an amateur dinosaur hunter. And he's, you know, he's not educated in the public school, in the public universities or anything. He has no PhD.
Right.
Everything he believes goes, you know, he does not believe in evolution, you know, he believes in God, and he doesn't buy this bit that a dinosaur bone is, you know, 2 million years old, but he is so good at what he does, and he's amassed such experience that he's able to work with some of these, you know, fellows with PhDs and whatnot. But it's an interesting thing. I'll see if I can find it, and I'll get the information to you. I just thought it might be something that you would enjoy looking at when you need a break because you work so hard. But it was very interesting, and I'm looking. I can't find it. But
yeah, I think there's got to be someone out there like-minded who's tired of the status quo and would want to join in me on this work. It would be nice to collaborate with some other brothers in Christ also and some that have the degree. So I wanted to get James sent off and so he could get a degree and maybe infect a college somewhere. But he has chosen not to pursue that yet. It's a problem. But we still have, like I said, nearly 40 years before I've determined the seventh millennium to begin. So we still got a lot of time to do a lot of work here. And we all need to be busy about our master's, our Lord's business until he comes. And retirement, that's for the world because, you know, they have no hope beyond the grave. So they need to get all their retirement enjoyment now. But for those of us that are true believers in Christ, our hope is beyond the grave. And we need to work, well, as Christ said, while there's light for the darkness comes when nobody can work, or the night comes when nobody can work. And that's when you're in the grave. You cannot get any work done.
Yeah. Yep. I agree with that. But I will try to find this website or whatever it was that I saw, and I'll shoot you the information later. And I think it's something you'll enjoy looking at, listening to.
Okay, well, I'll take a look at it. Thank you for the call, Fireman Mike.
Okie dokie. Take care, brother.
God bless. Bye-bye. Let's see. I was reading John 5, 28 and 29. Yes, they shall come forth that have done good unto the resurrection of life. And, of course, that would be the first resurrection. Okay? And that they have done the evil unto the resurrection of the damnation. And from our reading of Revelation chapter 20, these would be separated by 1,000 years, the millennial reign of Christ, and the first one, the resurrection of life, the first, the millennium, the pre-millennial event, cannot be figurative, because that would mean that it already happened, but from what we read there and where was that at? In 2 Timothy 2:15, the error of saying the resurrection has already happened. It only overthrows the faith of some, because I agree. Because if it's, you know, it's kind of like, it's almost preterist-like, you know, because that's what the preterists said. They say, well, we're in it. This is the new heaven and new earth. Only they're just saying this is the millennium, but it's kind of the same thing. I'm saying this, if this is it, then, you know, I want my buddy back because this is not what I was promised. Anyway, that's all we have time for today. Make sure you subscribe to my blog And I do covet your prayers, so please hold me up in your prayers. And most of all, continue to walk in the kingdom of God. May the Almighty bless you as you walk in his kingdom day by day.